from Wales. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please, of course, hold your calls for the time being. Hopefully we're going to have this good friend, Joyce Riley, from the Gulf War Veterans Organization, and we're going to be talking about, well, all sorts of interesting things. And, of course, you have to understand that there really is a very real illness out there that involves many of our Gulf War vets, and this is being covered up, as are so many other things here in the United States, and the American people are just not getting the truth. I mean, they concealed the facts about the Tuskegee study for 40 years. And I don't know how many of you have ever gotten our 4-tape set on Tuskegee or gone into the background, but the Public Health Service recruited 400 black men for a syphilis study, a couple of hundred controls, and the 400 black men, 412 black men had syphilis, and for 40 years they kept them from getting treated until the vast majority of them had died. When the study had ended some 40 years later, 356 of them were either dead or unaccounted for. And the whole idea was to keep them from getting treated so they'd die and so they could autopsy them. And that was kept from the American people. When the American people finally learned, they were outraged, but nothing was ever done to the people who did that. Anything more than the truth, anything's going to be done to the people who've suppressed the truth about the Gulf War illness or so many other things going on today. A recent report from a special government committee talking about hepatitis B vaccine that they're requiring every child to take today in the nursery, every child whose parents are stupid enough not to object. And they said there's probably no relationship between hepatitis B vaccination and multiple sclerosis. Probably. Wait a minute now. You mean you're vaccinating literally every child in America with a vaccine, and you say there's only probably no relationship, but we're going to keep an eye on it? That's the exact word of the article that came out, the report that came out recently. Do you really want your child to get a vaccine that's probably safe? Well, you would think they'd want to have everything 100% safe, but that's not the way things are done here in the United States. They need, of course, to get you to get your children vaccinated, because at least the adult shots cost $85 each, and I don't know what it costs for a child, but probably pretty comparable. So you can subsidize what's going over in communist China, where they can give the shots for $1. Over here, an adult dose costs $85. There it costs $1. What's the difference? Well, anyway, we've got Joyce Riley on with us. Hi, Joyce. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Tell me, what are the latest things that you're working on now?
Well, I think probably the biggest concern right now is the change from the CDC's position of vaccinating only 15,000 first responders and moving that up to 500,000.
Well, of course, you know why that is. They really want to get a lot of people vaccinated so they can get the immune globulin. That's what it's really about. But they don't want to tell them that. But they need that immune globulin if they're going to give a lot more of that. And that's the only possible justification for this massive program, because they know the complications with the smallpox vaccine.
That's right.
In fact,
I agree with you.
Their own committee said that you should only vaccinate a very small number of people, the first responders.
That's right. You know, it's interesting because one of the physicians, and I don't have his number, his name handy here, but one of the physicians that was working on that project in St. Louis to attenuate the vaccine by weakening it so that they could make 10 or 15 times the amount of existing vaccine go to several million more, has now said publicly that he will not vaccinate his family. Now, when I found out about that statement and was testifying at the CDC town hall meeting, I asked the CDC to confirm or deny that statement, and they refused to respond to it, saying it had no bearing on anything at that meeting.
Well, now, who was this? We don't know who the doctor was.
I don't have it handy right now. I apologize. I just happened to think of this issue that I wanted to bring up, but I can find it. Neil Miller is the one who had shared that information with me. You know, this whole issue of smallpox is now they've gotten their nose under the tent and they're continuing to push and push. You know, we knew initially that they had intent on getting every single person vaccinated, because that $428 million contract that went from HHS to Canvas Baxter was to produce 155 million doses. They had 15 million doses already. And today we learn that DynPort, D-Y-N-P-O-R-T, is now going to get another contract. And in fact, DynPort admitted to having had this contract for several years with the Department of Defense, and 95% of their contracts come from the Department of Defense. DynPort, D-Y-N-P-O-R-T, which I believe to be DynCorp, a subsidiary of DynCorp, is a company that was in the Gulf War that did all government contracts and did not have a good reputation as far as we are concerned. So they have a desire to want to vaccinate everyone, and that's exactly where it's going to go. Now, my question is, and my question to the people at the CDC was, wait a minute, we've already had anthrax supposedly dispersed in this country. Why are we going to medicate everybody with smallpox vaccine? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And also the issue of the genetic alteration of the smallpox vaccine was raised, and there were no comfortable responses with any of these questions.
Well, of course, the thing is, Joyce, and I think every listener should understand this, this is an experimental vaccine. And why are you going to give an experimental vaccine to our entire population? We know what happened when they gave the polio vaccine back in between 1955 and 1963, and then they found out there was a cancer virus in that, and they've concealed that fact from the American people for 40 years because people are now dying of the cancers produced by SV40. And then now they're going to come up with another experimental vaccine. Before you give a vaccine, it should be tried and true and proved to be safe. But they never want to do that. They want to give it to as many people as they can immediately. That just doesn't make sense when, as far as they told us for years, there was no more smallpox in the world. There was nothing to be worried about. And now they suddenly said, gee, there's a threat of smallpox. We've got to vaccinate everybody. What's wrong with this scenario?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they say that there's only one vial in Russia, one vial in the United States. However, they now fear that Iraq is going to use it. Well, from 1985 to 1989, when the United States was selling to Iraq the biologicals, it is of our concern that since we only learned about the declassified biological agents that were sold to them, what if they had in fact sold classified smallpox to the Iraqis?
Well, no. But you see, we really don't know that, but I think they're just trying to scare everybody, and for some reason or other, they want to vaccinate every American. And that really bothers me. I mean, what is their real agenda? They say one thing, but do they have a different agenda?
Did you happen to see the inoculation that was done on television on CNN?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You remember the old Dryvax vaccine where they would scratch the skin 11 times?
Right.
Well, this was not like that. They were making punctures in the skin, and it appeared to be a different type of immunization. And I have not seen anywhere where they have directly identified the type of administration that's going to be utilized. So I was just curious that they were doing some type of unique administration of this, which makes me fear even more that there might be some other agenda to the vaccine than what we already even know about.
Well, I'm sure you remember how we did the original vaccines, and that is, oh, we're going to have to go here. I got so interested talking to you, I almost missed my break. But this is the time, of course, I have to mention to our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we hope many of you will consider very seriously changing your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. You do that by calling 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. You talk to a real live human being. You transfer over. Their prices are competitive. The service is excellent. And, of course, you will find out that 15% of your money that you put in will come back to Radio Liberty. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley. And, of course, they had a series of town hall meetings. They had a large major commission of so-called experts in the field. They got together, and they, after having all these meetings, decided that they were going to immunize, I think it was 15,000 people. And then suddenly, for no reason at all, suddenly the CDC has undone all the work of all these people who got in and studied, and of course, and now they're going to immunize 500,000. And you wonder, was this thing all decided long ahead of time, that they have these commissions, these good people come together and give their time, whereas it's all simply smokescreen. It's to give the American people the idea, we're going to get together a committee of experts, but the decision is already made. Did you ever have that idea, Joyce?
Well, I knew originally what was planned, and I could see that when I went to that town hall meeting. And that town hall meeting was absolutely a scam. There was never intended to be any media there. They never even opened it up to the media. They never intended to have very many people participate in that. And so we knew what their indication was. We knew that they were trying to talk in terms of this ring vaccination, where they would draw a ring around a town and then vaccinate that area, but we knew what their intent was. Now, what's interesting is that they're using the excuse of that study done by Wine and Edward Kaplan of Yale University. Now, these experts are supposedly experts in modeling epidemics, and they're publishing their study in tomorrow's issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. That, they believe, is enough evidence to urge the CDC to change its current policy regarding the guidelines. So that's what they're using as their excuse, is this Yale University study. I think that this is all planned. Nothing happens by accident. They have known all along what they were going to do. Otherwise, they would not have made 248 or 278 million doses, whichever figure you believe. They would not have made this up.
And, of course, as with so many things, for instance, you know, we have the attack on the Twin Towers in New York. And, of course, then they come up with the Office of Homeland Security. But it was already planned going back to the year 2000, this whole idea of universal vaccination or forced vaccination under the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. And yet, of course, this was planned back in the year 2000. Everything taking place today was planned and scripted ahead of time. The so-called Patriot Act, in response to the wicked terrorists who attacked the World Trade Center, well, that was the legislation that Bill Clinton couldn't get through back in 1995 after the bombing of the Murrah building. And Bill Clinton couldn't get it through, but George Bush did. And, of course, this should cause everybody to be concerned. It seems that whether the Democrats or the Republicans are in power, the same basic agenda and philosophy is there. Ever more controls and regulation and regimentation of the individual, ever more restriction of freedom.
You know, what I would like to see, Dr. Stan, the public do, is every single person out there request a copy of the Patriot Act from their congressman or senator. I'd like to see every single person request one at 350-some pages. Don't get the shortened version. You want the long version. And review it, because it's startling. I, unfortunately, am just getting my copy now, but what I have been told and I have read about it, I cannot believe that anyone allowed anything to be passed without voting on it. Now, that's enough right there for recall for these senators and representatives, in my estimation.
Well, they did vote for it. They just weren't allowed to read it before they voted for it. And they were told it was unpatriotic not to vote for it.
Right, but I mean, that to me is enough for recall right there, that they would vote something into being without having read it. And that's a fraud. That is a fraud on the American public. They're not doing their job. That is not due diligence. And I think we need to respond and say that very thing. And I think we need to all ask for a copy of it. Everybody needs to have a copy of that Patriot Act to understand just how damning it is.
All right, fine. Well, I think that's a good idea, and I would second that. In fact, I will call my congressman's office and see if I can get a copy of the Patriot Act. Are they hard to come by?
No, they're really not, as long as you pursue and don't take the abbreviated version of it. Now, you know that Stanley Hilton has brought a lawsuit against George Bush with the issue of the Patriot Act. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, this is fascinating. Stanley Hilton is an attorney in San Francisco. Now, he brought an action against George Bush, Dick Cheney, a number of other people in the administration over the 9/11 situation. He represents, I don't know how many families now, probably 15 or 20. They're doing a class on behalf of all of those that were injured at 9/11. Now, I want to believe, and I'll tell you this, I want to believe the man is earnest. I want to believe that it is not good cop, bad cop. I want to believe that his intentions are correct, and only time will tell. But this attorney from San Francisco has filed a lawsuit. They're waiting their response on behalf of the administration right now, but it is saying that there was prior knowledge. Now, in representing many of the families that died either from one of the three accidents, aircraft accidents, or from the WTC, I think he's probably going to get some support. However, the interesting part is that the government came along and offered, I believe it was $1.5 or $1.8
million. $1.85 million to every family and pleaded with them not to bring a lawsuit. And if
that's
they,
right.
Oh, why? And some of the people say, we're not interested in the money. We want to get the bottom of it. And they say, no, take your $1.85 million. I mean, don't bring a lawsuit. You may not get anything at all.
That's right. And they have coerced a lot of the people out of this lawsuit. But there are those that are standing by now and are going to go forward with Stanley Hilton. And he's an interesting person to interview. But let me tell you why I'm so pleased with him. Is because part of his reason for bringing this lawsuit is that 9/11 brought about the Patriot Act, which has brought about some of the worst revision of our rights in this country, or abuses of our rights in this country. And that plays a very big part in his petition that he filed on behalf of the people injured in 9/11. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see somebody out there knows, besides the people that listen to your program, that the Patriot Act is a real problem.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly hope that more and more Americans understand that what they're doing is using the threat of terrorism to justify taking away our freedom, which may be why we began financing the Taliban back in 1994, and you want to get in the background of that, we have a book. We don't actually carry it, but it's called Unholy Wars by James Cooley, written in 1999. But if you really want to get into who financed the whole of the terrorist movement, you need to get the book Dollars for Terror. It was also written in 1999. And who financed this terrorist movement? Why, the Saudis, who are, of course, a surrogate of America, the Pakistani intelligence, which is a surrogate of the CIA, and the CIA. That book was written in 1999. Why isn't that ever talked about by Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw? Why was Stephen Emerson's very excellent video, Jihad in America, suppressed in 1994, which told about all the Islamic terrorist movements groups in America back in 94? Why did our intelligence agencies suppress that? Why did they force Dr. Morey's publisher, Harvest House, to recall his book, Islamic Invasion, 3 or 4 days after the 9/11 attack, and recall it from every bookstore in America, and of course tell the publisher he was not allowed to give Dr. Morey any of the copies of the book he had actually written that they had in their warehouse. How much money did it cost them to get the publisher to do that? And of course, why are they trying to keep the American people from learning the truth? If there's nothing to hide, why are they hiding it? Incidentally, we do carry a Stephen Emerson's excellent book, American Jihad, which he wrote just last year, which covers much of what was in his original video. But the video was so impressive. And yet that was suppressed, actively suppressed, here in the United States in 1994. Somebody gave orders that it was not to be shown again. It was shown once on PBS. and then totally suppressed after that.
And, you know, this whole system that we're involved in right now, there are so many distractions, so many things to keep people busy, that people go back to their World Federation of Wrestling, or they go back to their soap operas or whatever, just, I think, to escape from a lot of it. You know, it's interesting because today on the news, CNN is focusing on the fact that though George W. Bush is coming down hard on these big corporate CEOs, he himself was guilty at Harkin Energy for not having filed the same paperwork that he is accusing many of them for not having filed.
Oh, it was so interesting. I just heard a public press interview here a couple of hours ago. I couldn't imagine that he would be as poor, under tension as he is. I mean, he could barely articulate his thoughts at all, and it was really almost embarrassing as he sort of stumbled and hesitated and hemmed and hawed and then, of course, never answered any questions.
Well, I think he's starting to look weaker and weaker. He's starting to look more affected also. I mean, the schedule that he keeps is very grueling. I've got to admit, I'm sure that I would not like to keep that kind of schedule. And for anybody that believes that he sits in his office and writes speeches or sits in his office and determines what the next, perspective of the Bush administration is going to be, I mean, it doesn't happen. I mean, he is told everything. He has to be told everything. He's on TV so much. He doesn't have time. He's traveling. He is not able to do what we used to believe that the president really does. And that's not what he does. He just carries out orders. Where those orders come from, I don't know, but he certainly doesn't have time to be creating and originating all of that legislation.
Well, the person I would like to see a president is his speechwriter, because I think he writes the most beautiful speeches, whoever that is. We're going to have to take a quick break here. And, of course, at this time, we want to mention to our listeners that Radio Liberty carries something called Phenopoly, which is a reading program of children who are in government schools where they've been dumbed down and not taught to read or read well. Children can read, learn to read phonetically, and to spell phonetically, and to think phonetically. Phonopoly, or Phonixopoly, whichever you prefer, is a board game. Actually, it's 5 different board games plus 2 bonus games. And when you get through with these, it'll take you 16 to 20 hours for the average child. You can deprogram the mind that has been really a cause to use the look-see method of reading, which it really produces nothing but problems for the child, because it doesn't even use the right side of the brain, or it does use the right side of the brain instead of the left side of the brain. But if you'd like a Phonopoly set, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then we've got a great program. It's called the Oregon Curriculum. It's a program for homeschooling where you can take children from the first grade up through graduation. It's an extra set of 22 CDs. You have to have a computer and a printer, and you print out the textbooks, and you print out the tests, and you print out the curriculum. The only thing you have to buy is the Saxon textbooks, and the entire program costs $199.95 plus the shipping. We recommend it. We think it's excellent. In fact, we're going to be doing an interview with Dr. Robinson this coming Friday. And if you want more information, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927, and we'll go ahead and send you information on it. But you have to get your children out of government schools. They'll have to either go to a private school you can trust or homeschool them. And the beauty of this is why the child does most of the work themselves. You don't have to do very much. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Joyce Riley, and we carry Miracle Soap products, which we get through Joyce's ministry. Joyce, how are you doing with the Miracle Soap products?
Are they still
helping the veterans?
Absolutely. In fact, I was going to tell you, the good news, I heard you mentioning Gulf War illness. We had one of the Gulf War veterans contact us and say that for whatever reason, and I'm sure there might be
children. Well, why is that? They don't ask, but I will tell you why I think it is, and that is we are giving altogether too many vaccines to our children. It's very, very profitable for the drug companies. It looks really good. We've done away with chickenpox, but chickenpox is not a harmful disease. Why do we want to give it to children? And why do we want to insist that girls get a mumps vaccine and little boys get the rubella vaccine? Well, of course, we've got to have it standardized. Everything's got to be standardized because the elite know exactly what needs to be done. The elite public health establishment is so smart, and yet they've been directing the control of AIDS in Africa, and the latest figures out of Botswana show that the pregnant women, and they test them all there, 50% of them are infected. Well, you know, if a doctor lost 50% of his patients, why, they would say, we better change what they're doing, don't you think? But, of course, they're going to continue doing what they've been doing in Africa. 50% of the women in Botswana are the most progressive, well-educated, and financially advanced society in Africa outside of South Africa and Rhodesia. 50% of the women there are HIV infected. They're all going to die. That is either a very, very tragic and unsuccessful public health policy or a very, very, very successful genocidal policy. It can't be both.
You know, I just received information that Pennsylvania has now mandated the meningitis shots for anyone going to college. Now, this is getting into another arena of questioning why would this be given, because they say that it will prevent two of the three important types of meningococcal disease. But, you know, we were told all kinds of things, just like you were talking about with the AIDS vaccine, with the polio vaccine, that have turned out not to be as safe as we were told in the past. And what if we now give this to all of our college students going off to college in the state of Pennsylvania? I think this is frightening. Now, what they don't know, and maybe are not being told, is that the legislation in the state of Pennsylvania allowed that any student who does not want the vaccination for whatever reason can get an opt-out form. But, of course, they're not going to tell you about that. I mean, you literally have to be reading all of this legislation as it comes down to know what's happening. And I think this is very frightening, to think that they've got one more mandatory shot for people without having any safety studies done. I don't know how they get away with it. All you have to do is now look at the anthrax sufferers. There have now been 6 deaths, Dr. Stan, attributed to the anthrax vaccine. In fact, when you get the new circular that comes with that vaccine, it says that there have been 6 deaths attributed to the vaccine. They also now have increased the rate of side effects from, I believe, I'm trying to remember, it was somewhere around, I think, 12% to 45%. Something, I mean, it was, seemed huge to me. So the Department of Defense has now made the edict just the other day that anybody who is going to be 15 days in a high-risk zone, meaning the Middle East, must be vaccinated. So they're mass vaccinating right now, starting the anthrax vaccine all over again, not telling people about the tremendous number of cases of seizure, of neurological disorders, of Gulf War-like symptoms, Gulf War-like disease symptoms of these people that they're now seeing as a result of that.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting, Joyce, that of course they were originally going to force everybody in the military to be vaccinated. But they lost so many pilots, National Reserve pilots, who just said, no way, and they just quit. And they lost, what was it, a third of their pilots? But, of course, they're not telling you. That's why they're not going to be vaccinating the entire military, because they know that a lot of people, are just, especially the reserves, are not going to risk their lives with this untried vaccine. And then, of course, what's so interesting is now they're beginning to put the anthrax vaccine into depots across America so they can give it to the public. Have you gotten into that?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen you say it into depots.
Well, in other words, they're going to have it disseminated into specific locations across America so they can give it to the public in case of an anthrax attack.
Well, it's interesting because in 1998, I reported that the Department of Defense had gone forward to the FDA to get permission to give it to the public. 1998. Now, they were really psychic to know what was going to come down the pike and what they were going to need to do. And, of course, BioPort started getting up to, you know, getting their numbers up. And, of course, because of the spore in the anthrax vaccine, it has to be a dedicated plant that makes it. That plant failed inspections over and over again. That was a whole disaster. And now they're saying they're going to be giving it again. Now, I do think some people are calling for literally the military to walk, but they're going to have to do so under threat of Article 15 or facing court-martial trials. So that is taking a lot of the heat right now. You're not hearing about the flak that's going on within the military, but our military is compromised right now. You know, we found out that they were testing the West Nile vaccine. They were testing another vaccine in Bosnia. It seems like in every area they go into, they have an excuse to test a certain vaccine.
Well, I think that the American people should really get a copy of the Rockefeller Committee report. It came out in 1995 from the Veterans Administration. They talked about the hundreds of thousands of Americans that they experimented on here in the United States. This is one of the most devastating government reports you've ever read. And, of course, everything was done to cover it up. I talked to the U.S. printing office when I ordered my copies, and I asked them, you know, how many copies they printed. They said 30. And, of course, that was for the public. You could, if you got them from a member of the committee, a senator, why, of course, or from the committee directly, but only 30 for the entire American public. And I said, why did you only print 30 of them? We're a nation of 270 million people. And the fellow at the printing office said, well, of course, they're so expensive to produce. Well, we produce them on our own printing, our own duplicator now. But you need to get that Rockefeller Committee report because you'll find out they've been experimenting not only certainly on the service personnel for years without their consent or knowledge, but also on the American people.
You know, I want to second what you said about getting that Rockefeller report. Everybody needs to get that because they are not going to believe what that report says. Hundreds of thousands of our military were experimented upon. I mean, the admission is right there. So if anybody questions what they were doing, and I'll tell you, we have gotten all kinds of stories. In fact, Project Shad, we just had one of the people involved in Project Shad, where they sprayed the ships with biologicals and chemicals, tell us just how bad it really was. I'll tell you, our military have been literal guinea pigs used by the military to test these vaccines for proprietary pharmaceutical companies.
But of course, if they can get by with the military, why not the general public? Why not your kids or your grandchildren? And of course, the trouble is that you can't sue the vaccine companies because they're immune from prosecution and from lawsuit.
Well, you know, it's interesting because they use this excuse of, well, if we would give it to our military, who are our front line of defense, then you know it's got to be safe.
Well, I'll tell you what, we know that they're up to some hanky-panky because all of those shot records from the Gulf War just disappeared. Now, there's no way you could do that unintentionally. They gave 150,000 of our troops the anthrax vaccine, and we've got about a couple of hundred thousand now that have Gulf War illness. And nobody can correlate because all of the shot records have disappeared, of course, unless there's some reason they want to find them, and then they can find them. Isn't that interesting?
Well, you know, I differ with you on that figure of 200,000. I would go out on a limb myself and say now that I believe it is probably closer to 400,000.
Do we have any statistics, any way to verify that at all?
What I use to say that is, The Department of Defense now has close to 300,000 people that have signed up on their Gulf War registry.
Have they really?
Yes. Now, I know that if 300,000 people have signed up saying they're sick, there's another 100 or 200,000 that want nothing to do with the VA any longer. In fact, I will tell you that 9 out of 10 people that contact the American Gulf War Veterans Association are sick. Only 1 out of 10 contacts us to say that they're doing fine. Now, that may be a skewed figure, given the fact that we try to help those that are having problems, but we offer this video at no charge to all Gulf War veterans. And it's interesting because more and more now we're getting the letters. In fact, I just got one from a mother. I wish I could find it here. She said, my son wishes every morning when he wakes up that he could be dead. He is so compromised. He has no ability to function. Oh, my son is, I mean, here it is. My son is ill as a result of Gulf War illness. Trying to get medical care for him in the past few years has been a nightmare. He has not gotten any decent care from the VA. We are now going to private medical care. And then she says, my son, Doug, is in pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with all kinds of major health problems. He's to the point where he has been so ill for so long and in constant pain for so long, he just wants to wake up dead. Please help us if you have any ideas what we can do for our son. We just want him back again. You know, this breaks your heart.
It sure does. And, of course, the government is doing everything they can to convince us there is no Gulf War illness. Well, we're out of time. God bless you, Joyce, for everything you do. Let's get your telephone number and your website out there.
Our phone number, 877-817-9829, and the website is GulfWarVets.com. Gulf War Vets, contact us. We'll do everything we can to help you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. And if you'd like to get that Rockefeller Committee report, I think it's $9.95 plus shipping. We recommend that to 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our ministers. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. And may the Lord be with you.